And if you thought that was a provocative title, how about this one? War is Beautiful. That's the conclusion writer David Shields came to after studying hundreds of war photos, all of them taken since 9/11, and all of them published on the front page of the New York Times. Shields says the Times has made war beautiful, and he thinks that's a terrible problem. Charles Monroe Kane sat down with David Shields to talk about war photography and beauty.
I want to use the word you used, because I found that to be very powerful, and the word you used is beautiful. War is Beautiful is the title of your book. Talk about provocative.
Right.
And these photos, you know, I was like, okay, I get your argument, blah, blah, blah. I got your book. Oh, my God. They are beautiful. Like, they're really beautiful. Yeah, they could be hanging in a museum. What's wrong with that? What are you getting at with that?
For 20 years, from the first Gulf War until through 2013, I would be struck by at least a couple times a week and sometimes several times a week, I'd be struck by pictures of war that sort of fed my war porn addiction. You know, it was really, these pictures were surpassingly beautiful. They were basically war as, what would you call them, kind of 20th century modernist masterpieces. Picture after picture, photo after photo seemed to me to be virtually appropriating Jackson Pollock, Mark Rothko, Jasper Johns, Richard Diebenkorn. I mean, it was just stunning to me how much of the war had been abstracted away from any kind of raw, naked, visceral horror and sort of uploaded into a realm of very abstract horror. The opening line of the book is an epigraph from Edmund Burke, who says that horror is very beautiful when kept at a severe distance. And it seems to me that these pictures function to disseminate a certain kind of ideology subtextually, namely that we sort of tell ourselves as readers of the paper that we're informed and somehow semi-concerned citizens and that we have properly bleeding hearts. But in reality, these pictures keep the war at, you might say, psychic arm's length, which to me enables the war to be fought and for consent to be manufactured. They're really important pictures in my view.
Okay, you know, I looked through them and I was struck by two things. One, that they really weren't as graphic as I thought they were going to be. And two, that they're still very powerful and beautiful. And they're that at the same time. What do you want? Do you want more carnage? What do you want us to see?
You know, General Sherman said war is hell, and these pictures portray war as a sort of very pretty heck. First of all, I want us as citizen readers to bring enormously needed skepticism to the cultural work that these pictures do. And then I want us to depend far less on institutions that work hand in glove with the U.S. government. And third, you know, struggle more with its happy willingness to print pictures that just swoon in a kind of corporate folk art.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I can imagine someone saying, you know, man, they're only photographs. What's the harm?
On the one hand, you could say, what's the problem? You know, so what? You know, the Times runs 365 pictures every year, and here's a picture. But I looked at literally 9,000 front pages of the New York Times through microfilm and microfiche from 1991 through 2013, and we found 1,000 color war photos. Color pics started in October 97. We found 1,000 color war photos, and of those 1,000, 700 fulfilled my criterion of pictures that, in my view, aestheticized horror. And I found precious few examples that, to me, in my view, conveyed the raw horror. So you could say, you know, what's the harm? But I guess the book is trying to argue that what subcurrent is running underneath that picture? Is there an irreducible glamour? Where is the horror? Where is the cost?
Is that policy or just happening kind of on accident?
I think that's the $64,000 question. I mean, this book is not an investigative book in the sense that I've uncovered 47 internal memos at the New York Times in which Dick Cheney and John Kerry have sent memos to the New York Times, and they said, if you ever print a picture of a dead soldier, that you will be denied access to the higher levels of government. You know, I don't have any such proverbial smoking gun. And I think it's an open question as to what's happening. Have all these photographers simply gone to school on the Western pictorial tradition and they can't help but take pictures of war as romance, as glamour, as beauty, as glory? Have the photo editors gone to school on the same tropes? To what degree does the New York Times instantiate its own authority by having access to the U.S. government and major government policies being sent directly to the New York Times? To what degree does that access depend on the Times, in my view, pseudo-covering the war? You know, Lyndon Johnson said during the Vietnam War, I can't win this war without the support of the New York Times. And then I follow up by saying, a New York Times picture is worth a thousand mirrors.
You know, our country has been at war now for 14 years, which is kind of blowing me away when I think about it. There's a lot of images from those wars that we've seen, just still images. Have they seduced us?
To me, these pictures are effective seduction, because if these pictures appeared on the front page of the Wall Street Journal or USA Today or the New York Daily News, there's no story, because people understand those papers to be rightward-leaning, military-leaning, Fox News-esque, Murdoch-esque papers whose agenda is quite clear. But the Times' brand is weirdly a kind of quasi-neutrality. And I think seduction is particularly problematic when we don't know the agenda of the seducer. And I even feel somewhat complicit. I wish I had gotten this book done 10 years earlier. It definitely took me too long to realize what was happening and too long to produce the book. So I'm proud of the book. I think it makes a relatively good case, but I felt seduced for too long, and this book is an attempt to, you know, break that seduction.
David Shields' new book is called War is Beautiful, the New York Times Pictorial Guide to Armed Conflict. Charles Monroe Cain talked with him.